Hi, welcome to Wake Up Call. My name is Mary Griswold. I'm the chairman of the CCTA, and we have a special program tonight for you about hurricane preparedness. And we have an expert panel here, and I'm going to ask them all to introduce themselves.
I'm Stanley Kite, Director of Emergency Services for Craven County, and I'm also the Emergency Manager Coordinator for Craven County. I've been doing this job for quite some time. In fact, I've been with the county 46 years, and I've lived in Craven County my entire life.
Hello, my name is Jim McConnell. I'm a division chief with New Bern Fire and Rescue. I've been with the department 25 years, and I oversee special operations, and I've been living in North Carolina for 30 years.
Chip Hughes, Craven County Sheriff. I've lived here all my life, with the exception of time in the military and state patrol. So over 50 years.
I am Patrick Gallagher. I am the Chief of Police for the City of New Bern, and I am the newest member of this group. I've been here roughly 2.5 years. Prior to that, I served on the Virginia Beach Police Department for 31 years, spending most of that 31 years in a leadership role, and have dealt with my share of hurricanes over that course of that time. Mm-hmm.
My name is Damon King, pastor of New Beginnings Celebration here in New Bern, North Carolina. I've been in New Bern 8 years, North Carolina 50 years.
Okay.
I'm Bob Griswold. I'm normally the one that introduces us, but Mary started out this time. So where do we want to go from here, Mary?
I'm going to start with Stan and ask you to give us kind of an overall view, just quick overall view of what the citizens need to do when they hear that a hurricane is on its way.
Well, actually, they need to start before they hear there's one on the way. They need to start now doing a self-assessment of where they live and what their dangers are, and start making their own preparations and planning for themselves a kit and making decisions whether they're going to plan to stay in place or whether they're going to plan to evacuate, and be prepared. Don't wait until the storm is here to start making those decisions.
Okay.
Stan, to interrupt quickly, because you and I were talking a little bit earlier, that with like household insurance, you had a great awakening during or just after Florence about the types of household insurance.
I have seen after the disaster in the recovery process where a lot of people really fell down in that they didn't have the types of coverage they thought they had with their insurance policies. And I was explaining that there's several types of homeowners insurance policy, so you need to be very aware and have a good discussion with your agent, because agents sometimes will just sell you a policy and it may not necessarily have the coverages that you need for your particular home.
One of the things that was new to us, now we've been down here almost 10 years, and one of the things that was very different about living in Eastern North Carolina was our insurance agent told us, you need a wind policy. In Massachusetts, and we were probably 15 miles north of Providence, Rhode Island, which is actually one of America's windiest cities, that was never a consideration, but that was something we had to consider here. I'm going to ask you, what role does the fire department play in getting us ready for a hurricane?
So we play a big role in the community. Like Stanley said, we want to reach out to our customers, our citizens now, and tell you, like he said, prepare now. This is the time. We're in the season. We know it's 6 months long, and it's time to prepare. Outside of that, we're always ready to respond. So we gauge the storm on the information we get from the Weather Channel and everything going on. And we make decisions with the local leaders of the police department and city management, depending on the severity of the storm, if it's going to be wind-driven, water-driven, to help the community understand the areas that are going to be greatest hit, either by water or wind and flooding. So we try to get out there, work with our community on these nice days now to inform them where they live. If they have any questions, so please call us. So we, if you're new to the community, and ask us where you're living. Is it, what is it prone to? Flooding, wind, whatever else. So we can inform you what's going on.
Now, one of the things, we lived in a very small town in Massachusetts in terms of population, but fairly large geographical area. And one of the things they did, because we got hurricanes up there, when they knew one was coming, they sent the fire trucks to different corners of the town so that if trees went down or whatever, they could cover all areas of the town. Do you have that challenge also?
So what's nice about New Bern Fire Department, we're already strategically placed throughout the city. So we increase our apparatus and personnel at those fire stations.
Okay.
Because we know our call volume is going to be high during this time of need and during this natural disaster. So our vehicles will just up staff, we'll bring extra shifts in so we can have more personnel and apparatus on the road as needed during the season.
But I think there's something that needs to be addressed while you're on that subject matter, because there's one thing that citizens, especially with health problems, get themselves in trouble with. And one of the problems is through the Emergency Operations Center, I work with all the different departments in the operations section chief, and we let them make local decisions. But just about everybody has a cutoff policy as far as high wind limits. So they don't need to think an ambulance or a box truck is going to roll out there in 75 mile an hour winds. I mean, they've waited too long if they wait that late. So
yes, exactly right.
That's a key point I think they need to understand here.
I know you get you up said, before it hits.
I know you said firemen sitting on the corner, but they don't need to think we're going to be sitting on the corner in a 75 mile an hour wind. That's not going to happen.
What role does the county play in preparedness and dealing with the whole thing coming?
So the sheriff's office, you know, once again, like fire and police, you know, we're going to up staff during these times. Our greatest source that we rely on is Stanley Kite's team to advise us, you know, how the weather's progressing. When these things are coming, we get regular updates from Stanley's team, and that's what we plan, basically. That's how we plan where we're going to position people. But it's very important for people to understand, you know, that we can't do as much patrolling and respond in the same manner when these events are taking place. You know, our men and women still, you know, if we get hurt, then there is, you know, we can't respond. So we don't want to be part of the problem. You know, we want to be part of the solution. So there's going to be times when, you know, calls go into the 911 center that, you know, the telecommunicator is going to advise the folks, you know, if this is not an emergency, there's a good possibility we're not going to be able to send a deputy to you. So we kind of, working closely again with Stanley's team, assess what type of call it is and decide, you know, is it safe for us to respond? But once again, you know, we're working closely with all the emergency response, and the same thing goes for his EMS folks, you know. What might be emergency to you at the time, is it really worth our folks getting out there and getting hurt when maybe it's a call that could be taken care of the next morning or once the storm passes?
One of the oddities of a number of years ago, we were down in Topsail for hurricane preparedness, and we watched on the television, watched the hurricane coming at us. We did work our way out of there early, but we also found that the law enforcement came around to all the individuals that had come around to surf the greatest surf and said, you're going to sign this life release that says you are aware we're not coming after you. And it changed the minds of a number of those people. Once they knew nobody was coming after them at a certain level, we again need to be prepared for the realities.
And, you know, it's, you know, do we have a state of emergency? Has the governor declared a state of emergency? Has our chairman of the county board, you know, declared the county a state of emergency? And, you know, that's the case. A lot of times a curfew comes with that. And, you know, really, if there's a curfew put in place, then a lot of times it's not safe for us to get out there and have to enforce a curfew. So we ask people to really adhere to that. It's not it's not to limit someone's movement or restrict them from being able to go out. It's not safe to go out. And that's why we put those things along the same lines of road closings. You know, the roads are closed, and inevitably someone is going to feel like they've got to drive down there. And it's closed for a reason. Mm-hmm. And usually it's because of moving water.
One of the things that we learned with our experience with Topsail, we were down there on vacation, and the hurricane hit the day before, was going to hit, I think, a day or two before we were supposed to leave. And when we got the evacuation notice, there's no way I was going to stay on an island during a hurricane. I mean, I'm not stupid. And I called the airlines and said, we need to change our reservation. They said, oh, there's a $50 fee for that. And I said to the woman on the phone, you can deal with a relatively sane person who's getting out before the storm and is relatively calm, or you can wait till after the storm's over and deal with the Starkraven nut, because I'm sure I will be by the time I ride that storm out. She waved the $50. Now, Chief, tell me about your role.
So I am, to use an analogy, a player in an orchestra of resources. And in day-to-day operations in the police department or the sheriff's department or the fire department or emergency management, we do a daily function. But in an emergency operation like a hurricane, pre-hurricane preparation, hurricane, or post-hurricane, I am a resource to the overall operation. So our role would be dictated by situational awareness of the issues presenting itself at that moment in time. We work in collaboration with each other to determine how best to deal with a particular issue. Do we need to respond? What kind of vehicles do we have? If we don't have the vehicles we needed, we have a opportunity to work with the emergency management to obtain resources that we need. So all hands on deck approach, but it is a coordinated all hands on deck approach to make sure that we're working smarter and in coordination with a larger purpose.
Okay, the role of the church.
The role of the church, basically to pray for all of these guys and their departments and then make certain that they have contacts for every one of them. And then we move forward with putting together a list of items and things to do in the event while they wait for emergency rescue.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a break to try to let you hear from our sponsors for a few minutes, and we'll be right back.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors.
I would like to ask, during Hurricane Flo, which is the hurricane that we remember because we were here for it, what outside groups were the most helpful in dealing with the situation before, during, and possibly after the hurricane?
I think I'd like to address the importance of how that works with the flow of making resource requests once we identify our shortfalls as far as what our capabilities are. We pass that information. For example, if the police chief says, hey, I need 50 more officers, the emergency management office passes that up to the Eastern Branch Emergency Management, which then goes to the state EOC at the state, and locals can't handle it with a local mutual aid agreement. They reach out and tap federal resources. So those resources come from a variety of different levels. And one of the things that we used, quite frankly, is depending on where you're at. In the response mode, we used more swift water teams and high-rise vehicles, high-clearance-type vehicles, that were a combination of federal, state, and local resources and some mutual aid companies. And of course, Chief McConnell can tell you the swift water teams were actually effectively the ones going in, taking people out of their floodwaters and bringing them out to areas of safety. And then we also had the animal rescue folks, and then we had, you know, other supplemental support people to help carry on those missions. So it's a big combination of effort from all of the above. It's not just one resource that really stands out to say one is greater than the other, because if you take one piece of that element out, it all fails.
Exactly. But you have access to resources beyond your area that will come in and help.
Absolutely.
There's really a good process that's in place, you know, when a state of emergency is declared. And, you know, like Stanley was saying, you know, our request is going to go through Stanley's office, who's going to make it through the state. And that ensures that, you know, one, we get reimbursed for expenses or expenditures that we spend locally through the feds. If, you know, we have a state of emergency, we can that enables us to apply, because then there's another tracking mechanism for accountability, which is always a good thing. But, you know, his office and the state office knows where all of these resources are. You know, and the chief and I both have high-rise vehicles that we can now use to go into low-lying areas, which, as we know, you know, Riverbend, Fairfield, parts of downtown just flooded, and having these high-rise vehicles are paramount to be able to go in and rescue folks. And that was really the main reason we got these vehicles, was for search and rescue in high waters, and we use them for a number of other things as well to protect our deputies and officers.
Part of the post-recovery process, so the sword cuts both ways in this. And so rebuilding the infrastructure, having electrical crews that come in that can backfill and get the electricity back up is critically important, and all of those resources are coordinated. But the other side of that is there are times where we have people that are just filled with the milk of human kindness, and they just want to show up, and then they're bringing all of these resources, and we can't manage that. And we have a lot of nonprofits that'll show up and say, hey, I'm here to help, and it becomes difficult for us to manage the priorities that we currently have to extract them from that task to manage somebody else that's coming in. And we don't know what it is that they're bringing and how to manage that. So,
and how well trained they are.
Right.
Very well diplomatically said. I have a verse that I got in trouble with saying one time, is that I don't want everything you couldn't sell for the last 7 years at the yard sale. that's not an immediate need, but sometimes that's what we get flooded with. However, through the Emergency Operations Center, we get a lot of those calls, and we all route those to non-government organizations, such as churches and religious community services and Salvation Army, Red Cross, other agencies that can manage and warehouse and help distribute those things to the victims when it's time. The first commodity in our warehouse, and we have to be careful as a government, is to not compete with local business and industry, is emergency water and emergency food.
One of the things...
Some generator power, but we're very cautious in what we accept in that first...
One of the things that impressed me after Hurricane Flo was the fact that Samaritan's Purse and Operation Blessing were camped outside of New Bern And as soon as it was clear, they came in and started distributing meals and taking down trees and putting tarps on houses and doing that sort of thing. But those are recognized charities that I think we can, you know, that we kind of can work with. But
let me remind you, there was a lot of community organizations.
Yes.
That didn't have the advertisement or banners.
Yes.
But they were doing the same thing. I mean,
yes.
There was a lot of
within our
lot of people helping people in a real time of need.
We saw that. One of our friends was a school teacher, and when he realized that he was not going to be in school, he put his chainsaw in his van and gathered some friends together, and they were clearing trees off, you know, roads, whatever, to do what they could do to help their neighbors.
But again, that creates special circumstances for these guys because we don't know who that guy is.
Right. And
he's not registered. He's not through the UM program. Yeah.
And it is.
And other neighbors might say, who is this guy and what's he doing on my property?
That's true.
There has to be a balancing act with his resources. So they, if they want to volunteer, they need to find out and go through the volunteer coordinator. Every municipality and every county government have a volunteer coordinator. Don't freelance.
Yep.
Freelancing causes a lot more legal issues and liability issues than most people want to confront.
I think that's why we're here talking about this.
What is the most important message that you would get out to people in the hurricane season? What's the priority message?
To me, the priority message for everyone is to plan to survive the event. I mean, that's our optimum goal, is for everyone to survive the event. So therefore, I'm going back to my beginning. You got to make a personal assessment of what your threats are and how you're going to survive that event, whether it's shelter in place, whether it's evacuate either to one of the local public shelters. But I would just say, if you can financially afford to get west of the I-95 corridor, you might be inconvenienced, but your chances of survival are 99.9% higher than if you stay anywhere locally during a significant event.
You know, an odd one that we were talking about earlier today was for anybody that has the generator that wants to hook up the generator, a freestanding generator, into your house.
Bad dude.
And back plug through that and liven the wires up on the poles. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, what's the fire department say about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, we really got to look at those hazards because it does create another hazard for us. Once again, during these storms, a lot of people lose their electricity, and they have brilliant ideas of how they can power their house up with a generator backfeeding the house. The bad thing about it, if they don't turn off the main, that power leaves the house, hits the high lines, and it just increases it. And one of the biggest things we have during a storm is many trees down with many power lines, and you can't sometimes see them. They might be underwater, but they've just generated electricity. And as we know, water and electricity do not mix, and you don't know it's there. So it creates another hazard for us, even the rescuers and first responders, because we can't always see that. We try to protect our people the best we can. Sometimes we purposely ask the power company to turn the electricity off because we're going into areas that we know wires are down, and we want our people to operate safely. But if there's other people backfeeding the system accidentally, it could cause a bigger hazard for us as we're making our way into these areas or neighborhoods to make rescues.
And a lot of people don't know, we coordinate with utilities to cut those main grids down because we have to look at prioritizing the infrastructure that needs to come back online first. I mean, if we don't have well stations and sewer stations back online, we've created a whole nother disaster.
Can I assume, and I know assuming anything is dangerous, that if your generator was put into the house by the builder and set up by the builder, you're probably okay.
With a transfer switch.
No.
No.
So how do you check that?
Have it inspected by an inspector.
Did we do that?
If it's not been inspected by the building inspection team.
Oh, no, it was. That
I'm
was,
just saying, but sometimes contractors do things that are not necessarily.
On the up,
I'm not trying to be ugly, but sometimes it's just not safe. And we get people in trouble with carbon monoxide because it's not properly installed. We get people in trouble with these that have to be refueled, trying to refuel generators.
While they're running,
We had three serious injuries during Florence that I'm aware of.
Wow.
We had one case where firefighters almost got in trouble. One of the Swift Water teams trying to help get some people out of a house that was so infiltrated with carbon monoxide that people couldn't even really respond to them. I mean, that's how close they were to death.
Wow.
So I would say that's not necessarily true. It needs to be a system that's been inspected by the building inspection team before the use of that generator. And at least annually have your if you're on LP gas or natural gas, have the gas company do an inspection on it.
Okay.
I would also recommend that as citizens make their personal plan, that part of that plan needs to be an assessment as to their threat threshold. Do you have persons in your home that are elderly? Do you have persons in your home that need, that has to have electricity for medical purposes? Mm-hmm. Do you have children? What kind of animals do you have? Do you have the ability to get out? And if the answers to those, well, the answers to those should drive decisions. And quite candidly, to make the wrong decision on this could be the difference between somebody's life or death.
Now, do you have a severity of a storm where you recommend evacuation, or do you, how does that all figure in?
I'm just going to say that, again, you need to be cognitive of what the local threat assessment statements are, because the category doesn't necessarily mean one thing for you, depending on where you live. But if you're going to have a local, you know, storm surge, not necessarily high winds, but a lot of water, if you're prone to flooding, that's a threat. If you're going to have tornadoes spawning off of it, I mean, there's a magnitude of threats that could be in there. Listen to that local statement as to what's going to happen in your neighborhood, not what's happening in Wilmington or D.C.
And I think it's one of the biggest things. Listen to the local responders, Stanley's office, local emergency management. Take heed to that warning prior to, so you can make good decisions.
When we come back, I want to go into detail about where to get, exactly where to get that information.
Very good. Well, we're going to hear again from our sponsors and supporters, and we just, again, thank you for staying with us, and be prepared.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back. Mary, where did we want to go?
I would like you to some of you to tell us the list of local resources where we can go to get specific information for our localities.
I think one of the things you need to do is go to your, depending on where you live, and I'm sure some of your listeners are going to be living in different locations, but they need to go to that local government website and look for the emergency preparedness guidelines. But everybody in North Carolina can go to readync.org and find a lot of the basic information. The Red Cross has a lot of good information. Just about every life-saving organization that I'm aware of has some posting or some link. The NOAA National Weather Service offices offer a very good source of information. And, you know, I'm still a big advocate of the NOAA weather radio. A lot of people say, well, with today's technology, you don't need that. Well, today's technology can fail you as well. So sometimes that NOAA weather radio system is the only system we have to get out civil emergency messages so far as information after you've been impacted. But in the beginning of planning, you need to do that shopping now, just like you do for Christmas. Don't wait until the storm comes. Go ahead and do your shopping now.
Anyone else?
Well, I think preparation is very big. You can look on different websites. The city of New Bern has a website. It talks about building your kit. If you're one of those individuals that is going to stay local and you're going to ride out the storm, there's a recommendation of supplies that we recommend that you have to have for 48 hours at least. Water, medications, pertinent information so that you can make it. And that Stanley has some information about that, but it's just about taking care of yourself and your neighbors for that first 48 hours, because we might not be able to get to you. There might be other severity of calls that we got to attend to. Mm-hmm. And it's about a neighbor helping a neighbor at that time and working with each other in your communities.
One of the publications that I was just handed that looks very interesting is readync.org. And it has a list of things that you need. And the other thing is North Carolina Family Preparedness Guide. And that, can't find a website on that.
You can get them from the local emergency management office.
Okay, we can get that from the local
local emergency management office. Mm-hmm.
And that is, both of these are phenomenal because they, and they give you a whole list of helpful websites. That is phenomenal. That is real, that's good stuff.
We'll try to post those websites on our websites.
Yes, we can post it at cctaxpayers.com because those are good resources for people. Anybody else?
Sure. The city of New Bern has implemented a new New Bern alert system. I would strongly recommend that if you live in the city of New Bern, that you sign up to that. And it is an app-based application. And during an emergency like this, it's going to be one of the systems that we use to push out information.
Okay.
Yep. Now, is that the same one that's put like posting that, you know, we've got a road closure for the for the construction? So, folks, if you've signed up for that, it would come through that same vehicle, that same texting vehicle.
That is correct.
It's texting, it's emails, it's in your face, pardon my French, but it is there. It's available.
Yes, sir.
Now, the Department of Transportation does a lot of emails and stuff updating what's happening on Route 70 with the construction and everything. Do they also play a role in hurricanes in telling what roads are
open?
Yes,
we monitored, or they got what they call a traffic information management system website through North Carolina DOT, and you can look at that for the entire state, and it talks about the bridges, the closures, the floodings, the major routes, the hurricane evacuation routes. All that data is out there. But again, you got to have internet.
Yeah, that's...
if your technology's down, then you're stuck.
And I think that ReadyNC, I know we have used that at times when people are talking about leaving and wanting to know about routes that are clear and that sort of thing. You can get real-time updates through that ReadyNC app as well.
Another thing, again, just to remind you that I'm sure some of your listeners are going to live in other jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to check on what they can sign up for in that jurisdiction. But there's all kinds of apps through the National Weather Service, as well as your local TV and radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal right there.
A little weather radio.
To me, it's better than a smoke detector.
Yeah.
Don't tell that to the fireman.
We've made it a habit at our church to even pass out this information all the time. So I would encourage anyone who belongs to any organization where there's a large gathering of people to take the information that these gentlemen are giving you. We have these handouts sitting near the door of our church, and we talk about the weather radio. I went and had old Donnie take care of setting mine up for free, and I encourage everybody in the church. I can't make anybody do it, but I oftentimes, about two times a year, make these announcements or talk about these issues. And again, we try to have everyone prepared with their list of items to keep them safe.
Now, I'm assuming, again, every county has an emergency services officer. Is that true?
They either have in place or they have an acting based on North Carolina Division of Emergency Management. That's under the North Carolina Department of Public Safety that covers all the counties in North Carolina.
Because I mean, we're on the coast. We deal with hurricanes. Occasionally, hurricanes go inland, and they go other places, and occasionally
in fact,
places.
In that pamphlet, you'll see some of the other county offices, especially for the counties prone to hurricane coverage.
And other counties have tornadoes and other such things and rainstorms, so they need them too. Okay.
You know, I think we're not only talking to people that have experienced hurricanes before, but there's also a number of people that have either moved into the area or are vacationing in the area that are just flat out not aware of the power of a hurricane and the power of moving water. There's a number of people, again, if you need to see the power of moving water and not experience it.
Yeah, that's most people think of water as recreation. Mm-hmm. They think of it during the summertime, a place to go swim and everything like that. And what we see a lot of is after the hurricane. A lot of these areas are still inundated with water, and you know it's still a flood environment, which makes it very hazardous and toxic. Mm-hmm. The worst thing we'd like to see is kids out playing in that because they really just don't understand what's in that water at that time. And because the water backs up, it's sewage, it's snakes.
It's wildlife.
It's wildlife.
You have alligators and snakes here.
Exactly. And then
hazardous
and hazardous material. So you think of everything that's in your garage, mm-hmm. you turn it upside down and pour it out. That's what's in the water right now. So, I mean, as first responders, we wear suits and stuff when we're in that contamination of water. But young individuals look at water as different than we do.
They're swimming in it.
And they'll be out there swimming in it. And that's things they just don't realize what they're exposing their bodies to and stuff like that.
One of the things that, to me, illustrated the power of water was after Hurricane Flo, seeing the Sir Grafenfeld bear in the middle of the street looking like he was directing traffic. I mean, that bear is not light. And for him to have moved from that corner into the middle of the street a couple of hundred feet down, that had to be some serious force
like
going on.
You know, when we talk about running water and water moving across roadways, inches of moving water can move a vehicle. So I think some people are under the impression, you know, unless my car gets inundated with water, it's not going to be moved. That's not true.
One of the other big threat is it erodes under the roadway so bad you don't know what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you saw the one in front of you make it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make it. And Weyerhaeuser Road is a good example. We had people trying to physically move concrete barricades when two-thirds of the road was completely gone in an 18-foot hole, and what little bit of pavement was left was only like 4 inches deep. Mm. But people were out there. We had to get law enforcement to go out there and assist firemen because they were wanting to fight, determined that they were going to go through Highway 43. I mean, if the road is blocked, turn around, don't drown. It's pretty simple.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, also, folks, if you see standing water, don't try to drive through at 60. Don't. No. You're not up to water skiing.
But when you talk about small amounts of water moving a car, are you essentially talking about something similar to hydroplaning?
No.
This is different.
A lot of your passenger-type vehicles, they think because they drive like a four-wheel drive SUV, they don't understand, you know, 6 to 8 inches of water can lift that vehicle up, and if the water's moving, take it off the roadway, you no longer have traction, you're just like a floating cork.
So this is like what New England goes through with ice in four-wheel vehicles. They just don't work.
The two drowning deaths that I had during Hurricane Floyd were both, one was a driver who almost ran over firefighters and National Guardsmen at a roadblock on 43, And the other one was a guy that had been evacuated to an area of safety, but had in his mind that he had to go back and check on his son's house. And he took an aluminum John boat by himself and got in some turbulent water, and we found him later and recovered him. But those were both people that died for no reason at all. I mean, they were not original victims of the impact. They created the problem themselves by not listening to advice.
Now, you run a danger of roads being undermined because... Yeah. So that's part of the problem, too. It's not that you have a pothole. It's that the whole road
is not going to be a pothole. There may not even be a pipe under that road.
Wow.
Remember, a gallon of water weighs roughly 8 pounds. So take the physics of 100 gallons of water moving at 5 miles an hour. You have a lot of kinetic energy that will go someplace, and it will take your 1,500-pound vehicle and drive it right down the street.
Someplace you don't want it.
Someplace, exactly.
And you don't have any control. You don't have any control where it wants to go.
Yeah, we were talking real quick about, you know, some of the good things. You know, I think our faith-based community really stepped up, fed a lot of first responders because our restaurants were not open, stepped up and made sure that our first responders were fed so we could continue to do what we did. Also, our volunteer fire. You know, not only our paid fire, but our volunteer crews, which Stanley works very closely with them as well, out there day and night. And most of the time, they're the ones that are clearing the roads. So we can respond. Mm-hmm. So I think to have not said anything about what they do in our faith-based community, how they really stepped up and took care of us is just tremendous.
So the National Guard also, we're talking about people that come here and they've left their families. And the firefighters, the EMTs, the law enforcement community are all leaving their families to service other families. And the amount of stress that goes along with that, and I can tell you that the appreciation that I, as a leader and the sheriff and the fire chief, when we see our community rally around them, that's very heartwarming.
I think that's quite a trait that we've seen in this community, having come down from New England. Folks, we're going to again hear from our sponsors, and thank you for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, folks. And Mary, where do we want to head?
What were the lessons learned from Hurricane Flo? Anyone want to take that one?
I'll say a few things. I think we all realize when we have these different storms, and none of them are exactly the same, we realize, you know, maybe what resources we don't have that we could have, when we try to tweak and get, you know, put it on our list of things that we need, maybe additional training, whether it be swift water rescue, whether it be communications, or additional protective gear. So that's things that we have learned through some of these bad storms, that things that we can put in our deputies' cars that when we're responding, we can, you know, maybe help the fire department with some of the things they've got so we can respond down the road further. Maybe additional resources that we need in our car once we get to certain emergencies that will help us perform life-saving measures until emergency management or emergency services can get on scene. So we learned some of those things. And as a result of it, we're better equipped. And I'm sure with the next storm, as they present new challenges, we will make note of those and try to procure the type of equipment that we need that will make us better servants.
Also, I'd like to say, you know, one of the positive things is the outreaching of the community afterwards, neighbors helping neighbors, other volunteer fire departments helping other volunteer fire departments. We had a lot of our personnel were inundated. They had to go home because they lost their house. And we had other fire departments across the state come backfill our personnel. So our operations got to still continue. We got citizens to serve. But Cary Fire Department, other fire departments in the west came to the east and filled our station with their apparatus and manpower so we can take care of our needs. So it's nice to see the community, not only locally, but within the whole state, taking care of each other.
And I remember seeing the utility trucks from everywhere coming into the state. I mean, that just,
it's
wow.
It's phenomenal with the co-op, with what they do and how they bring them in and how they pre-stage them.
As the sheriff indicated, no two storms are exactly alike. And with that particular storm, because of its intensity and how it was deemed by many to be a once-in-a-lifetime storm, it gave us an opportunity to build upon our evidence-based strategies that will help us for the next storm. Mm-hmm. And based on the variables of that storm, based on similar variables in the next storm, we can have a pretty good predictive model on where our vulnerabilities are. And the modeling of storm surges and what that is going to look like when it reaches our community is a whole lot better. And Stanley can talk about this. Than it was even 10 years ago. We are incredibly fortunate to be able to utilize that technology.
And you know, Chief, as you're saying this again from the professional perspective, that is something that the professional service organizations have zeroed in on. What did we learn from the storm? Now, as individual homeowners, we need to learn also from what we.
Humans are creatures of habit. Unfortunately, they move, the population changes, the communities change, and I've seen this transition over years. Some of the communities that were hardest hit in some storms, they have moved on. And unfortunately, some people now that are not educated as to what those risks are now living in those same areas. And we see it over and over again. And you have to ask yourself, what are you thinking? If you're not asking the questions, if you didn't live here before, ask a neighbor, ask someone else. Call emergency services, call your local contacts, find out what the historical data of where you live. It could be just like what you said. There might be a place where homes are now built that there is no data. Mm-hmm. Because we don't care how much the forest floods during a storm surge, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have that data. But we can tell you based on the existing communities and infrastructure as to what's happened. But again, my bottom line is if you can afford to get out of harm's way, stay out of harm's way, and listen for the right reasons for you to return. Don't think you can just turn around and drive back when the sun pops out. because we may have police officers and guardsmen from other states, other nations, countries, or counties helping block traffic and protect property. They don't know you personally, so be sure you have what you need for right of reentry, whether your jurisdiction requires reentry permits, whether you have to have identification and information such as property owner's information showing that you actually are who you say you are and you live where you say you live. I can tell you that the emergency management office in our county EOC, we got a lot of kickback from a lot of these hard hit communities that they won't let me back to my house. Well, you just showed up with a New Jersey driver's license and expect that officer to think you live on Craven Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative, but a lot of times it was really difficult trying to sort out who was coming to steal versus who was really trying to get back to their house. So we try to set up a safety perimeter and protect and security, but take your time. Don't try to rush before the resources can be back in place to help you safely return to home. Mm-hmm. Or you find yourself trapped in Kinston because you didn't follow up on the traffic and the highways and the flooding situation.
Yeah, that's...
We had a lot of complaints about that.
Because you can't get through Kinston after a heavy storm.
Well, I mean, again, some storms you will, some storms you won't. You're going to get into traffic surge and you're going to get it into the flooding from the Raleigh flooding if it's still ongoing. Some jurisdictions were out of the floodway in 3 to 4 days. We had areas of the county that were flooded for 14 days.
Wow.
So it depends on where you're at. I mean, there's no way to give one answer to fit everybody on that. But have those contacts, you know, have the ability to reach out and ask those questions. And if nothing else, we all issue public information statements when we have updated public information. Be patient, listen to those, look for those, get that public information, and you'll learn what's going on in your area.
I think another good thing, which is this is going to sound like a shocker, is you did see politicians and elected officials, regardless of affiliations, jurisdictions, federal, state, local level, come together and work as they should, putting their political differences aside for the good of their constituents, which what they were elected to do. We saw them operate the way they should during that time. Now, unfortunately, the storm's gone, and then they go back
to normal.
They're back to normal. But during that time, you know, you saw elected officials at the local, county, and state level put their differences aside and work on bringing and building back our county. And I hated to see that go, but during that time, there was a glimmer of hope that, you know, this could last. It could, and it works when this happens. So that I felt like that was a good thing, that everybody did come together for the common good of rebuilding and getting those folks that needed help.
But it shouldn't end when the state of emergency is over.
It shouldn't. And that's why, you know, I wanted to bring it up because it was a good thing. It was something that we do not see other than during times of emergencies.
One of the things that we saw, our kids went through Hurricane Katrina. The Marines evacuated them 2 days ahead of time, and they, you know, they were away until November. But the city of New Bern came together in a way that was absolutely amazing, because we had watched what happened in New Orleans after Katrina. And there is a special community spirit thing going on in New Bern. I don't know where, you know, I'd love to blame all of your leadership for it. I really would. But it is something very unique. I've said more than once, New Bern is a city that functions like a small town, where people seem to look out for each other and they seem to take care of each other. And I think that was very obvious after Hurricane Flo. And I think that is unique. I'm not sure that happens in other places. And there are probably a lot of reasons for it. Our religious community probably had a lot to do with that.
I'll tell you, that's my department right there. It is. There's a special spiritual security here. And I said that when I moved to New Bern 8 years ago. I was like, you know, God has a special bubble around this place. And we're going to be a community that's going to be a light shining in the darkness, not only to the surrounding area, but to the entire state and possibly even the entire country. And if you look at the people who are moving here, where they're coming from, man, mm-hmm. there's more people moved here from Colorado in the last 8 years. I'm like, what is happening? What do they call those things?
Snowbirds.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, is there avalanches going on? Because everybody's coming here from Colorado. I just can't. But they said there's something real special. They even recognize it when they get here. So, and I thank God for you guys, because without your leadership and your action and the resources you give us, where do we go? What do I have to talk about when I get behind the pulpit and say, hey, by the way, we need to talk about preparing for hurricanes, floods, you know.
And Damon, I'm just going to add, when you get here, don't try to change the locals. Try to join in with the locals.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
We moved here from Massachusetts. Yeah. I love New Bern. Please don't turn it into Massachusetts.
No, don't turn it into Massachusetts.
We can read the body language.
That's okay.
It is a very unique county and city, and we're all blessed to be here. And, you know, Pastor, we as public officials and servants would not be successful at what we do if we did not have the support of our communities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the chief and I have talked about it a number of times. We don't deal with the anti-police rhetoric that many of these other, you know, larger urban areas have to deal with. Here, we're embraced, we're loved. There's not a time that we don't go out to eat together or meet when we're in public where people don't come up to us and thank us for what our men and women are doing. And we give credit where credit is due. It's our teams that do it.
Yes, sir.
So we are so fortunate here to be able to have that. Folks love the fire department.
Yeah.
They do. They love the fire department. They gravitate toward them. And, you know, our fire department here in New Bern is second to none.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's on the water or on land, they're there. They support my office, the chief's department, and they're ours. They're our firemen and our volunteers, and, of course, what Stanley's folks do. They are kind of the unsung heroes. They're our lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're out there on the road, they're out there protecting us. So,
folks, I hate to cut us short, but we are just about out of time, and I appreciate your staying with us. And, folks, stay prepared.
Thank you for all of being here.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.